Happy Lord's Day.
Happy Lord's Day.
It's okay to smile. Yes, it is. There's a lot to be happy for. And we are especially made aware that because of the blessings we have been privileged to ascertain from the goodness of our God, it is only because of His goodness that we are blessed, no matter the circumstances we may find ourselves. And know that it's challenging sometimes to see the light through the storm, but be assured the light is still there. You know, we say that when the sun comes up, we see the sun. You've heard that phrase. Sun doesn't come up. Sun has always been there in the same space. Earth just turns around. The sun is always there. The question I have for you and me and everyone, and even our guests on the live stream, who are you? Who are you? Are you peculiar? Are you a stranger? Are you a pilgrim? Are you odd? Are you different? 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. I'll be reading from the New International Version, where it says, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Scripture needs to be read and reread and not rewritten. And again, we go to the Word because it is the authority, as we just finished reading. It is what we need. It needs to be read and reread, not rewritten. And if it's been more than a day since you had your last scripture reading, then it's been too long. Since we last gathered together, several questions need to be asked. So how is your prayer life? Is it something that you're doing consistently, meaningfully? Are you praying for the Lord's church and for each other? Is your prayer life more substantial? Is your prayer life more robust now than from last week? And Lord willing, we could all say yes. Because it's something also we need to do, should do. Is your Christian walk making you look peculiar to those around you? How peculiar are you? No, I didn't ask how strange are you, but how peculiar are you? Have you ever considered yourself a pilgrim? No, not as a pilgrim from an old country western pilgrim. Do you feel like people look at you strangely? As if they're confused when they look at you? Are there those who may actually consider you as an evildoer? Let's go to the Bible and get a better understanding of how Scripture renders how we are to be. What can make us different or peculiar in this worldly world that we are living in? Is it knowing that someone deeply loves us? Or is it something else that makes Christians unusual? Or in a word, peculiar? John 15:13 in the new I'll be reading from the NIV, John 12:15-13. It states, greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. That's deep love. And it has relevance in your life if you genuinely believe it. It is written there. We know of it. And it can be said time and time again, but until you believe it, embrace it, it will make you peculiar. It will make you different. Another reason that may make us peculiar, could it be because we have a genuine hope of the future? Thereby, our outlook is always positive. Even when the circumstances may dictate otherwise. Kind of like the story of the high-rise window washer working on during a nice, warm, sunny day when suddenly a cable broke on the scaffolding, and now that he found himself falling from 100 stories up. It was a nice day, so many of the occupants were having their windows open, and they could see the man falling. One of the tenants shouted out to him, "How you doing?" His reply, "So far, so good." Again, a simple illustration of the greater attitude that we should have. That no matter the circumstances, because of who God is, not because of who we are, but again, because of who God is, we can say, "So far, so good." John 3, verse 1 through 3, again, where it's talking about this great love. How great is the love our Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. The saying is, one day closer. And again, these words in Scripture help bring that point home. He's coming back. And shouldn't those words in Scripture move us to be different? For us not to be like the world? We as Christians should never really want to hang out with worldly people. Our sense of purpose is markedly different and may indicate that yes, we are peculiar, different. And in some ways, when you genuinely are wrapped in His love, comprehend it, understand it, embrace it, live it, then there will be a certain glow about you. Some say it's a radiance. Some call it the joy of the Lord. You can see it in brothers and sisters most of the time. I wish I could see it all the time, but I know most of the time. And that's something as simple as a genuine smile. A happy, constant, happy disposition, if you will. Because of not who you are, yes, we're children of God. And yes, that is wonderful and is special. But we should not get that mixed up with the fact of who he is. That without God's love and care, we would not be what we are. And that's plain and simple. It's because of who he is. Ephesians 5, 1 through 14. Again. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love. Just as Christ loved us and gave himself up as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. We are talking about the world, worldly people. For you were once darkness, but now you are light of the world. Live as children of light. You see that sense of glow? That light? There's a glow. For the fruit of light consists of in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. It is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Christ will shine on you. Consider that the sun shines brightly every day, even when we don't see it directly. And at times during the night, you've probably seen it, you can see the moon being illuminated. But that's only because the sun burns brightly. And the moon is in a position to reflect the light. I'm sure you've seen the full moon, and it seems so gorgeous, so clear, so distinct. And sometimes, hopefully, you're moved in awe of what you're witnessing. And to realize that this was spoken into existence and has been going on like that ever since he made it happen. It's still happening today. The reflection is so bright that you don't need any man-made lights. The full moon. And so, how about when you can only see a sliver of the moon being reflected? What is blocking the sun from getting to it? What is it hiding behind? Are we hiding behind something? As his children? Are you hiding behind insecurities? Are you hiding behind personal weaknesses? Are you hiding behind excuses? How about jobs? Hobbies? Habits? Worldly things? Let's consider the following. First Peter 9 through 22. This will be the King James Version, where again it's our where we get the gist of our scripture reading. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now are a people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversations honest among the Gentiles, that, whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Having your conversations honest among the Gentiles. Your speech should provide a clue that you are peculiar. And at times, the world may say unkind things and words to you because of who you are. Such words as goody two shoes. Oh, you think you're all that. Oh, you think you're high and mighty. And they may actually consider you as an evildoer because of who you stand for, of who you reflect. But we don't want to conform to this world. Not if you love the Lord. Not if He's your God. Not if you read the Word and understand what's going to happen to those who do not honor Him in the way that He wants and demands and requires. As Christians, we should want to live to the higher standard. The higher standard. The highest standard. 1 Peter 1, 15 through 16. But just as He called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Ephesians 4, 29 through 31. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Would having a genuine compassion for our fellow man make us unusual, different, peculiar? How about having a genuine compassion for our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ? Galatians 6:10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Say what? I guess maybe that needs to be reread. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, comma, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. It's not me saying it. It is what God has said. It is what we need to do. You've seen it. You've been in some congregations that as soon as the lesson is presented and it's over, gone. It's like a vacuum. And I know there's sometimes there are places that people need to be, but I wouldn't suspect that should be all the time. But anyway, we just read together what God would have us to do. You make that choice individually. Are you going to love the brothers and sisters? It tells us who. And yeah, you may have to work at it. My brothers and sisters, work at it. Get to know someone, especially the household of believers. Does that include me? Are you a believer? The resounding answer is yes. How can that be done? How about just a genuine smile? A kind, meaningful gesture, a handshake, an embrace. How about the verse that says, greet another, one another with a holy kiss? Oh boy. Newsflash, COVID is over. Again, there's no doubt it may make some uncomfortable, like a simple hug. But doesn't genuine love help us overcome our inadequacies? If it's genuine. How about growing out of our comfort zone and say, hello? Again, let's go back to Scripture. Show kindness to one another, especially the household of believers. That's us. Here's an idea. I can see it here. And most congregations have the same thing. But brothers and sisters, may I suggest, sit next to a different brother or sister every week instead of your self-proclaimed reserved seat. Just saying. Get to know someone. Sit somewhere else. Get out of your comfort zone. Get out of that routine that makes you live in a rut. God forbid. God forbid. You want so much more out of life, I would suspect. You would want so much more out of our worship, I suspect. Is it not what you put into it? We're here to worship God, not to be worshiped. We're here to serve one another, not to be served, unless there is a genuine need. But that's not your goal. I want everyone to make me feel better. What about your responsibility? What about your obligation? And if you look beyond that, you'll get to see that it's our privilege because of who God is. And the opportunity given to make a difference, especially with the household of believers. If you had just 5 minutes left in this world, what would you do with it? Would you be running out that door to get to the restaurants? Or would you spend the 5 minutes talking to one of your brothers and sisters who need it? Who've had a bad week, tough week. And sometimes you don't need to have to say anything. Just embrace or hug. Love. Love. Make it genuine. Get involved. Like you care. Well, make sure you do care. Why? Because God cares for you. Let it be genuine. Again, I would recommend sit someplace next week. Sit somewhere else. It'll be okay. The building's not going to fall in. Do something. Do anything that would encourage each other and which shows Christ's love. I know a couple that have been married for many years. many years. And whenever the time came when out of necessity that they couldn't go to a particular place together, they would say their goodbyes and kiss in the house. And then whomever would get in the vehicle, and before they pulled out of the garage, they would kiss. And they would say goodbye again. And whoever is staying back, they would wave to the other person till they got to the end of the driveway. And again, the one staying back would wave continually as they would drive off. And while he or she is driving away, there would be one small window of opportunity between the parked vehicles to see him or her one last time as they were leaving. And they would still be waving. Some might think it's because they're glad that they are leaving. Rather, it's because the one leaving will be missed by the one stayed. The person is leaving. Needs to know that someone is anxiously waiting for them to come back. And if that is the last thing they get to remember about their loved one, is a hug, a kiss, a smile, a wave, and that they know that they are loved. They have grown in love in such a way they do not want to be separated, don't like to be separated. When you love someone deeply, then maybe you could understand what I just shared with you. Unfortunately, this worldly world does not understand that that could be possible. That love could be that genuine, that deep, that meaningful. Even some of our brothers and sisters in Christ don't believe that that is possible. How unfortunate. But again, let's go to Scripture, Romans 8, 38 and 39, where it says, "For I am convinced that neither death or life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus." Is that not love? Is that not genuine? Is that not deep? Isn't that the kind of love we want? Brothers and sisters, it's the love we need. That should make us a different kind of people. Knowing that we have that kind of love from God and from our Savior. Those are life-changing words. Those are encouraging words. Words of hope. Words of comfort. Words of knowledge. Words of love. How strong is that kind of love? It's the kind of love that does more than the improbable. It does the impossible. It loves us despite ourselves. It is the greatest love. And it is written, "God demonstrates his own love for us in this, While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. James 4, verse 8. Come near to God, He will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. From this verse, we can learn that God does want us to come close to Him, emotionally, spiritually, physically. Again, we are reminded from the above scripture that He is holy, righteous, and will not accept or tolerate sin in His presence. Wash your hands, purify your hearts, and never doubt, or as some would say, being double-minded about who God is. Know that He is the great I Am, our Creator. Let's be different. Let's be peculiar. Let's be lights. Let's strive to be holy. Let's be loving. Let's be caring. Let's be hopeful. Let's be peculiar. Pray for the Lord's church. Pray for each other. Pray for me. The Lord's invitation is given, where it states, we must hear His word, His holy word through the scriptures. We must believe His word, His scriptures. And we must repent of our sins, as it is indicated in the good book, and confess Christ as the Son of God, and then be baptized and buried with our Savior, and then live for Him in a loving way. The invitation is open for all, so let's stand together and sing the song of encouragement.